all good. Thanks, Derek, for telling me that about the schedule. Somehow I forgot about that, and that's why I was asking you. Now I know what's going on. I know what's going on. After I'm done, Ron's turn is, and then after. But really, I think so. But now I'm taking Ray's turn, so Ray's going after me and then you. I think by name, we go by name, whose name is first in the alphabet. You'd be after me, I think. But now, since I'm taking Ray's turn, Ray will come right after me and then. Okay, good. I have prepared myself for a study today, but it'd be a bunch of bananas. You might wonder, I have just brought a bunch of bananas along, and we'll talk about that. Okay. Literally some bananas, okay. They're in here. Okay, but that's not the topic. I just wanted to bring a point across. That's why I brought them here before a little later. Today, I like to have a study I was looking at anger a bit. The other day when Ray was up here and he was having the time of prayer and sharing, I sensed that there was lots of anger, like frustrated anger or hidden anger or bottled. Isn't it on? Is it working? 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, testing, 1, 2. Use this mic here. I'll take this off so I don't think that I can tell you anything to that. All right, that's fine. Because I was looking at anger, I believe that why we're angry is a big part of. Now you're saying that we are angry. Well, I'll keep on explaining a bit. I hope you'll be able to understand what I'm trying to come at. I was looking at anger, and I think anger is somewhat the opposite of love. And then I was looking at love, and probably we do not understand love, and that caused us to be angry, because if we would have understood love, then we wouldn't need to be angry. So I'll be looking at love, and probably also some at anger. Depends how much time we have and how the study goes. We have often found amongst our circles that people believed that they were Christians, and just later on to find out that they were not Christians, they weren't born again. The only place where they were Christians was in their head, and later after really finding the Lord, they found out that in their heart they never knew the Lord. I would have liked to use the board a bit. Maybe we could bring it up here for now. Thank you. All right. We know lots and lots of things in our head. We've been Christians in our head for so long. And we have been very carefully looking at this situation amongst ourselves, if we are Christians of the head or if we're Christians of the heart. And because of that, many of us have come to a place where we have become Christians of the heart, for real. And we started or walk with the Lord for real after being filled for so many years, not living after Christ, only but in the head. And it was as if it was a blind spot in our life. We didn't even know that we weren't Christians. We thought we were, we believed we were, but we were blind to it. We didn't know. And now I like to draw a banana plant here on this board, and then I like you to tell me, or whoever knows how the fruit goes on the banana tree, tells me, or raise his hand. We'll have a talk about that. Okay. We'll just bring it lower because often it hangs below the leaf. So now that's where the fruit is on. Who knows? Now we're coming to look at the bananas. How does this fruit connect to this piece there? Who knows? Oh, Wes does. That's good. Okay, who knows, how does this fruit connect to the banana tree? Huh? Pointing up. Is that true? Does bananas hang up, like, if this, is that how they hang on the bananas, on the tree? Yes? Okay, these are getting old, if that's the way they should be hanging there. Okay, good. Well, they are hanging up. They are that way. The hands are standing up. This is called a hand, and they're standing up. So, the point that I was having is that for lots of people, they don't know that bananas are that way, that they're standing up. It's a new thing for them. And they would believe, if something, then they would be hanging down, because that'd be making more sense, hanging down. And so in this case, there were people here that they weren't blind to. They had the understanding. Oh, they are standing up. But then there are those that it was all new. And well, I have another question. Now, I know that not everybody is blind in this one. Alvin is not. But what is the difference between black limestone and black granite? Does anybody know what is the difference? Who could raise the hand? Alvin should raise his hand too, because I'm sure you know. Does anybody, who doesn't, if I'll have a black granite here and a black limestone, would you be able to tell which is which? Who believes you'd be able to tell which is which? You could make a guess. Okay, but you're not sure if you would know. Okay. So, I was going to go further away from home so I could have a more blind spot. Now we're right close to home, and then we're having a more blind spot. We're not quite sure which is the black lime and which is the black granite. Okay, well, it doesn't really matter that much. Granite is made of shiny little stones, the contact of it, and white lime is just more of a solid piece of stone. If you see something that sparkles and is spotted, it's very likely to be a granite. And a lime is more like just a solid piece of stone. But that was not my point. But what I'm trying to come across is that we have blind spots. And what I'm trying to say is that there's a blind spot in this man. He does not see. He probably knows of his heart, of his head, but he does not know in his heart. He does not know in his heart. And that's what I was trying to bring across, that we do have blind spots in our area, in our lives. And blind spots make us miss the point or lose, if we have blind spots, very, very likely if we're having a struggle with becoming angry, we do have blind spots in our lives that we are not able to see the truth in certain areas. And if we don't know, then we just simply don't know. That's just how it is. Today, I'll start out with reading from love. I'll read Romans. No, I'll first read John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I like to look at this love here. I'm not trying to say that we're going to cover our blind spots with reading these verses, but the Lord can bring us light into our life that we can have understanding of true love. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Lord Father God, come to you this morning. And I pray that you may bless the scripture that we're going to read and look at today. Help us that we could understand what love is. Help us we could understand what anger is. Help us that we could be freed from it. We pray, we've been reading John 3:16, and it says, God so loved the world. And what does love really mean? Do we understand what love is? Lord, thank you that we have been able to come to a point of understanding salvation, but do we understand what love is? Just pray that you lead us on through this study. Help that we can come to a point of understanding what love is in our hearts, not just in our heads. I think our heads are fine. I don't think that we really need to study and learn more in our heads, because I think we have it almost together, or at least good enough. But Lord, I just pray that we could have an understanding of our heart, what love really is. And Lord, I just pray to help me that I could bring the point out so that the people could understand what my point is, or what your point is of love. I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If I'm looking around the world and the people of the world today, I could probably make a guess of statement here, whatever. I don't think that it is 80% of the people that have understanding what love is. I think it's much less. Even in the Christian circles, I don't think that the Christian people have understanding what really love is. We have figured it out. We know how to behave well. We know how to act well. But truly, love the way Christ loved, I think we are very short in understanding that way. I do also believe that there is the understanding of love there is a measure of understanding of love amongst us. I believe that that's true. I believe that there is a taste of love. I'm not trying to say that we don't have love, but what I'm trying to say is that there is I heard a man say that 50% of all problems is love. If a man does not come to a place that he knows that the one that is sitting down with him to counsel him does not love him, then, or in other words, if he finds out that the counselor loves him, then 50% of the problem is over. The rest just needs to be dealt with, and then we are ready to go on. And if there's church problems, if somebody would come and sit down with us and he would really love us, I'm convinced he loves me and you're convinced that he loves you, then all of a sudden 50% of the problems be gone just because we're convinced that he loves us. And that's why I'm trying to say that the real love, the love that we just know that he loves us, that part is a blind spot in many of our own lives. My life, I can freely say that I do not understand love in a deep way. I don't understand love in a deep way. Now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if there's love that God has, which is a true love, that he gave, I'd just like to see if we can have these scriptures read and that we could come to a more deeper of our understanding what love really does. And if it comes out of the heart, then what would it do? Reading 1 John 4:7-12, it says, "Beloved," and that tells you something, that there's somebody that he loves. And what does he mean when he says beloved? That we'll just leave it there for a bit. And it says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Wherein is love? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If I study God's love, then I have come to a place where I believe that God loved us in such a way that I'll make a little example. If I am hungry, and if I am poor, and if I don't have $20, and then if I do have love in me, and I have other friends that are poor and don't have any money, and then somebody gives me $20, and if I have love in myself, which I at least I have tasted it in a measure, then I would have just loved to give away the $20 to the next man, although there has been a time that I felt free that the Lord had given it to me, that I could use it, but then there was a feeling that I would have wished the other one had it, or I wouldn't have felt like that it should come to me. If there's love, then I would wish the goodness would come to the people that I love. Let's say if I would come to, well, I'll make an example of a farmer. If I'm farming, and if I love my neighbor, then I would pray and I would probably care more that the farmer's crop is going to look good, and I'll look at his corn as much as my corn, and if I see that he got worms or something in his field, I would love to let the neighbor know as soon as possible to have him get the best crop of the best crop, and then I'll be looking to my crop too, because that's right, I need to live too. I can take care of myself, but I would look out and see if I could I would want others to be more blessed than myself, and that's what I believe that the love of God is. He's looking out for the others to have a better benefit out of the case than I myself. First John 4:16-19. Okay. I'd like somebody to read this here. Where should we start reading this morning? Start here from the front and we'll go back to the back. Phil, can you read 1 John 4:16 and then also verse 19? Looking at the love Lord, I just pray, help us that we could understand the scripture. Open it up. Help us that we could have a true understanding what love is in our, what love's supposed to be in our hearts. I believe that we are blind to love. We could grow in a much deeper measure what love really is. I pray that you open our eyes in the name of Jesus. You may read this scripture. 1 John 4:16-19.
Just the two verses?
Yes.
Okay.
Read the two verses.
And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us.
Okay, and then anybody like to share something about love now? Like have an open input? The next scripture we want to read is John 15:9-13. But go ahead.
There was a man in prison one time for quite a while, quite a few years, and he got sick, and he so desperately wanted penicillin. Oh, he so desperately wanted. And he got his, through his way of getting it, he did get it. And then there was another man in there that was also very sick. And he thought to himself, well, this other man needs this penicillin far more than I do, and he gave it to him. And they both got healed.
Mm-hmm. That's true. How much can I sacrifice? It's not me, but it is you. Abe, I wish I could be that way for you. It'd be you that keeps on living good and healthy and in Christ and in whatever. The goodness be for you. It's not so much that I need the goodness, but I could have it for you, or I could be willing to let it come over to you. Okay, John 15, 9 to 13.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
And then verse 17 in the same chapter.
These things I command you, that you love one another.
Okay. Anybody like to say something? We'll be reading in Ephesians 3, verse 17, 18, and 19, but I'll first like to draw here something. I believe that love looks somewhat that way. We are the last ones. Not trying to make us, there's the opposite of love, which is saying, oh yes, you are the guys, you are the good ones, I am the bad one. I'm not trying to say that self-condemnation is love, it's not. But what I'm trying to say is, if you for real are willing to back off and let the other one be right, or for real, if you are willing to suffer, like what Ibra was sharing about the man in jail, if you're really for real willing to be wrong and let the other one be right, the further down you can come, probably there's, I mean, and then there, the more a chance there is that you can love people. If your children have to be under you, let's say if you're a daddy up here and your children are down here, that you are over your children, you are ruling them, and you're having them in your claws, and whatever, however you are, and you are telling them what to do, that is not of Christ. If you are the one that is the father and you have real love, you can love that way. And if you look at Jesus Christ, isn't he the one that has the biggest power in the world? Isn't he that is the strongest? Isn't he that can rule the most? He is ruling that way. He does not rule from up down. He's ruling from here down. And he can tell us anything. he can write the Bible and we can read it and we say, okay, we believe it. And he's talking about people going to hell if they don't, what do we read? There's many verses, like 3 or 4 verses just full of bad things, like divorce and adultery and it goes on, drunkards and goes on, are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's plainly saying, hey, you guys are dropping out. But he's not angry at them. He's in love. He's able to tell them, and nobody feels hated by God because he has standards. If you are in love towards your children, whatever, it doesn't mean that you have no authority, no power. That's not what love does. You can still be in full charge, if I could say it that way, but you can love it. You can let them go first. I'm trying to bring a meaning across much more than words. Please understand the meaning, and let's hear what Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19 says.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Okay, Solomon writes something about love too, Proverbs 8:17.
Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
And then John 14, verse 21.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Now, who's willing to read the next scripture? Romans 8:38 and 39. Whoever's next in line is fine, he can read it. To me, it seems one of the greater lies that we have in the Bible if we are not honest. It goes very, very deep and very, very wide, telling all kinds of strong words. I'm not sure if that's true. The scripture is true, but if I am that true, if I would read that, okay. Go ahead.
Is that starting in verse 37?
38 and 39 and chapter 8.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, you might be wondering, but now it says here, I am persuaded that neither death. Now, how many people die and then people get angry about God that you let my little brother die or whatever, and you are getting mad about God that he let an accident happen, right? And that's just somebody else dying, not even you. And then you become angry about God. It happens, right? And they reject God because this that happened in my life, and you just let go. Nor life. Wow, how much do you attempt to get angry at God when you're not able to become rich in life, or life doesn't work the way you wanted it to work? You're tempted to become angry at God, right? Nor angels. Hey, well, if angels will come around and talk to you, or principalities, even powers of darkness, whatever, or other powers, things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I know this is true if we understand which is in Christ Jesus or Lord. If we understand that, it can be true for us. I'm not trying to say it's not true. What I'm trying to say is that this is a very, very big statement, and lots of people have left love, and they are not able to love their children. Their children feel like that they were slaves for their parents. They had to work 15 hours a day, and then they could barely have a candy. And all of those things, they don't have an understanding what love is. The parent didn't know how to pass love over to them, and the children didn't have no idea how to receive love and what is love. And we are having blind spots in our lives, what love really is. Let's finish it up with 1 Corinthians 13. Paul's saying the very same thing in this chapter I was trying to say this morning. We'll read what he says. First Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and thought I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. We could stop and really meditate on these verses and check our hearts if we're really honest and real. In this time of life where where we're having everything instant and real fast and real quick, we are not trained to be honest and real really with ourselves. We are going too fast to really stop and check out our own selves if we are really honest. But if we would, we might find things there are really wrong in our hearts. And thought I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and thought I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity walleth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. If we measure ourselves up with the first 8 verses, if we put that measure stick to our own inside, not just to our head, but to our inside, there's a great possibility of finding lots of red lights on there, checking on us. And my desire would be that we could be honest with ourselves and look into our hearts and know how to love, which I realize that I cannot do much for anybody. I can bring this topic, I can stir it up, but we'll have to look for the real answers in our own lives. And yes, my let's just pray once more, and then I guess we were going to have a song after that. Oh, Father, I come to you this morning. My Father, I pray that you may open up or blind eyes to the places that we don't have no clue how to love. We have no idea how to do it and how to really love somebody in this way, as 1 Corinthians 13 was writing. We probably would know how to do that off our mind, off our brains, but really in our heart, that I'd be willing to suffer and let somebody else have the good of it, for real, honest, down in my heart. Lord, I just pray you teach us and you give us light and you bring us to where you would want us to be, which I don't know how to find that way, because I need more light, I need more insight. And Lord, I realize that we could have been raised that way, that we are not loving amongst ourselves. We are just behaving ourselves and keep ourselves out of problems. But really loving each other in the family or even in the church was something probably very unknown to us. In the name of Jesus, I cut that off, that we be free to walk in love and in charity the way 1 Corinthians is teaching us that we could do that through your power and through your grace. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.